This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dischem Baby City.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And yes, it is Wednesday and it's time for Bump and Beyond. And as always, we are talking parenting. When I, even before I had children, and even still to this day, and my kids are 10 and 13 already, there's lots of like products out there for children. I think it's even more prevalent when they're younger because, you know, certain products as well, the price tag that is associated with it, then you're like, should I go for the cheaper option? Should I go for the expensive option? And it's always a little bit of a, is this better? Is this more expensive one really better? And things like that. And it becomes really confusing. And again, my children are much older already. And still, when we have to buy certain things, you know, now it's just more expensive things like, should it be a PlayStation? Should it be an Xbox? What kind of computer? Should it be a laptop? Should it be a desktop? So it's always that, and I think, I mean, in life, I think it is difficult often to decide between products. And again, with children, it's various things where you're going through this process of what is important to look out for, what is not important to look out for. And that's exactly what I wanted to specifically talk about today is when it comes to sleeping bags. And I don't know if all of you are familiar with baby sleeping bags. I don't think it's a brand new phenomenon at all. I do think it's been around for quite some time. There's a lot of options out there, though. And today I want to talk about what we need to look out for. Why would you want a sleeping bag for a baby? What it is, what it's used for. And again, more specifically, what you need to look out for to when you're choosing a sleeping bag to help kind of inform you on that journey. Because I feel it is something that is necessary for all babies. In fact, it's if I go to a baby shower now, don't go to Luckily a Lot. It is really, it is my go-to kind of, that and a sleep package from Goodnight is my go-to gift as for when I go to a baby shower is definitely a baby sleeping bag because I feel it's one of those things that you should have as a parent. And you're here to join me to talk about it today is the Goodnight product manager, Annika Bodenhout. Hello, Annika. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Yolandi. Thanks for having me.
First of all, I have to just share that Annika is like very pedantic when it comes to choosing products. She's very like very specific and she's very thorough. Let me rather say that. She really when she chooses any kind of product for Goodnight, it's always about making sure it's safe, 100% safe. And I think that's like, and I mean, it is something that you have to think about very prominently when we're working with babies in the end of the day. And I say to parents, the chances of something happening, obviously, depending on if your baby is sickly or not, of course, but it's minuscule when you do something. But why even take the risk, even if it's a 0.5%? risk that something can happen and increase the chances. Why would you take that risk? Of course, as always, I do want you to be part of the conversation. So if you have any questions about sleeping bags, anything, I guess, sleeping, you can also ask, but specifically about sleeping bags, are you using one? Have you ever used one? Did you use one and you didn't like it? Please share with us. You can, of course, WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019. We would love to have your input on this conversation. So, Annika, first of all, let's start with a conversation of why would you use a sleeping bag?
You know, Yolani, I think that's a great starting place. And for that, I think we need to understand how babies sleep. And I think if we look at babies right directly after birth, we see a non-REM and REM sleep. And REM sleep in children are often, as you know, we call it active sleep because that muscular paralysis, which always accompanies healthy REM sleep, is not yet fully developed in infants. So that's a very good reason why we do not want loose blankets over our children, because they, you know, you'll put Bitty up in the cot and he'll end up at the bottom of the cot within an hour. So for the risk of, so safety first, so for the risk of strangulation or just getting suffocated in between blankets, we want to rather look at putting them into a wearable blanket in which they cannot slip down into. So because of that reason, and I think another good reason is overheating is one cause that we can look at as a cause of SIDS, for sudden infant death. And so if we guess, okay, it's like it's 17 degrees Celsius tonight and I put over 2, 3, 4 fleece blankets to keep my baby warm at night, you do run the risk of overheating them, interfering with electrical quality sleep, and you know, that's just not safe. So I think for overheating and for keeping them safe, those are two very good reasons why we should be looking at sleeping bags. Because if you buy a good sleeping bag, and we'll chat about that a bit later on how do we know which sleeping bag is indeed correct and safe, I think that's definitely a starting point for.
And like you mentioned, like REM sleep with babies, they don't have those. I mean, we are kind of paralyzed when we sleep during REM sleep. REM sleep, and I tell parents that even with adults, REM sleep, the brainwaves during this REM active sleep actually look very similar to when we are awake. And as us as adults, again, we have like a neuroinhibitor that paralyzes us when we sleep so that we don't do what we dream about, in essence. Babies don't have that. So they are quite active in their sleep. So that restlessness that they have is quite normal. It's also necessary, I feel. Like, where are they going to find the time to learn to walk and talk? They spend so much time sleeping in those first 2 years. They need to practice their skills in the middle of the night.
And safely do so.
I mean, you now mentioned the safety reasons of it, but the reality is as well that blankets often don't even stay on top of babies when they're sleeping, because they often have, especially smaller babies, that weird normal. It is absolutely normal for them to do that leg thing where they kind of like put their legs along. I'm demonstrating to Anika, forgetting that we are actually on radio. But they like kind of like put their legs up and down, and they like push their legs a little bit. And that, of course, can push off the blanket. So especially now during this time of the year when our kids go to bed, it's not yet that cold, but temperatures go down quite significantly throughout the night. And if they're kicking off the blankets, a reason for a wake up could actually be that they kicked off the blankets and now they're cold. And luckily we have that. That's a safety mechanism for us as well, that we actually wake up when we are cold so we don't freeze to death. But babies also have that. They're going to wake up quite a lot during the night. So why not keep them warm throughout the night? So many reasons. For those of you who haven't seen, I mean, sleeping bags for adults are very different. You know, if you think of a sleeping bag for an adult when you go camping, it's a very different. That looks more like a worm. For me, a sleeping bag for a baby is more like a giant dress, I feel. Short sleeve or non-sleeve dress. No sleeve dress that the baby is wearing. So it's not like a traditional kind of sleeping bag. It's more like an actual set of clothing that the child is wearing. But so it's very kind of normal for them to sleep in these sleeping bags, or very good for them, I feel.
And you know, I also just think it doesn't restrict movement at all. So I think it's like a dress. It's really large. You can really kick around. You can even walk in it. And I remember my daughter could even like jump in it.
I do feel it restricts movement in a positive way, in the sense of, like, your toddler, if you start off with a baby sleeping bag from the start, your toddler is also going to be used to it. So it will actually help that they're not climbing out of the cot as easily when they are. So, like I said, I feel it restricts the movement in a positive way, but that's the only way. It doesn't really, they still, like you said, my children stood up in a sleeping bag. They sat up in a sleeping bag. It really has no restrict. It's like just wearing an additional piece of clothing.
Yeah, it becomes such a positive sleep association. It's a blanket that you take on vacation with you, and your baby already just associates it. So whatever your routine is would be like, that's as strong a cue to your child that it is now sleep time. I mean, you can travel with it, obviously, so it makes it superb.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Thank you so much. If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 Hive M, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we are talking parenting. Today, specifically, we are looking at baby sleeping bags, something I feel is a must have for every family or for every baby to improve their sleep and to keep their sleep 100% safe, in all honesty. And talking with me today is Annika Bonanor. She is the product manager for Good Night, a very like thorough product manager as well, very specific when she's looking at products. Also mom of two. So Annika, a question I have now is, at what age can you start actually? We've now spoken about obviously why you would want a sleeping bag, and I think it is a must have item, but at what age can you start using a sleeping bag?
You know, Yolani, I think the answer is twofold. That we have like swaddle bags and we have sleeping bags, but I think firstly we'll look at safety. So we have a swaddle bag is basically, we talked about a wearable blanket now, or a wearable, you know, sleeping bag is like a wearable blanket. Whereas a swaddle bag is where we would still want the arms, you know, tucked in. And because of that Mora reflex that children have that wakes them up so easily. So AAP, the American Association of Pediatrics, recommends that we stop swaddling at 8 weeks. But then we also have to look at the minimum kilograms that we, the weight that we can put a baby safely into a sleeping bag. So if I'm talking about this first kilogram ratio, I want to say that this is for swaddle bags. We don't get sleeping bags that small. So our smallest swaddle bag that we have starts from about 2 kilos. So if your baby is 2 kilos and above, you can safely put that baby into a swaddle bag. We can also look at the length. Minimum of about 48 centimeters, and then we can safely put a baby into a sleeping bag. But as you can see, very small. Our 0 to 6 month old sleeping bags start at about 4.5 kilograms. So you can safely put your child into from 4.5 kilos into a 0 to 6 month old sleeping bag, or 58 centimeters. I think that's a good indication. And you get a 0 to 6. We do the swaddle bags, which is roughly from 0 to 3 months, depending on the baby's age, weight, length, 0 to 6, 6 to 18, and an 18 to 36 in South Africa. You do get larger ones, but we don't see it often in South Africa. It's more in European countries where they actually keep sleeping bags for up to 6 years old. And as you know, for adults, we also have some sleeping bags, not very sexy ones, but you know.
I don't know how I would feel about a sleeping bag like that. I do have to say I get like so hot. I really like being able to put my one leg out or having the option of doing that. But I mean, that's also an interesting point is that babies, obviously their temperature is regulated in a very different way than us. Because we often, I mean, duvets and blankets like that is obviously not safe for babies for a reason.
Yeah, and so it's very interesting. So if you look at the research, they say that a baby, we know that they metabolize completely differently than we do. They grow quickly, they eat a lot, there's a lot of things happening for them. But to give an idea, a child would be as warm in a 2.5-tug bag as you would be in a 13-tug duvet. So that should be alarming and hair-raising, and that's really why we are so anal in when we prescribe certain sleeping bags and recommend against others, because of this fact. That tug rating really can save your lives, I think. And I'm always cold. So can you imagine me having to, I absolutely just go to the standard and say, okay, they said so. I cannot,
But But what you've now mentioned that, like, let's go to that point. What is a TOG rating?
Yeah, so it basically gives you the unit of measure for thermal resistance. So it shows you the thermal, it's a test that they conduct on a product to show the thermal insulation of a product on a certain part of your body. And they test this wash after wash after wash to see that this TOG rating or this thermo insulation, this property that this product now possesses, that it stays the same throughout the product, this lifetime of a product. Okay. So, cotton is cotton. We could argue about that, but you get, there's millions of different thread types and weave types that we get. And, it actually makes a massive difference in the thermal insulation ability throughout the product's lifespan. So TOG ratings are really, it's like a superpower that not a lot of bags possess in South Africa specifically.
Yeah. And it is something to look out for when you are purchasing. I always say to parents, if it doesn't have a TOG rating, it means that it hasn't been tested 100%. So you can't guarantee that the thermoregulation is going to remain wash after wash after wash. So you want to look at, if you're choosing one of the things to look out for, is like Annika first mentioned, is the correct size that you want to look out for your baby. You shouldn't be putting a newborn in a 6-month-old sleeping bag because the head size is different, the size there. You shouldn't be putting a bigger baby in a smaller bag. You should look out for the correct size. And then TOG rating is definitely another thing that you should be looking out for when you are deciding on the type of sleeping bag to ensure that. But if you're now, just explain a little bit, because you do get different type of TOG ratings. What kind of, when are you going to use a 1 TOG bag? When are you going to use a 2.5 TOG bag? Should you be using a higher TOG rating? Give me some detail on that.
Yeah, that's such a good question. There's so much to say about around this, but I'll try my best to stick to TOG rating now, because my head's already on a lot of other thoughts on the neck width and the armhole that you've just spoken about. But so we basically stock 0.7. These in South Africa, 0.2 TOG that we find helpful in very hot areas. But that's really, you can put your baby in a vest if you. I wouldn't spend money on that. Look, we also don't advocate buying. You don't need a lot of things for sleep. I think you need a good sleep hygiene and you need like a good sleeping bag and a safe sleep space. There's not a lot of things, but so 0.2 TOG, really, if it's that hot, put your baby in a vest. I'm sure they'll be fine. But a 0.7 TOG is where we look at the very warm rooms. Like when it's 25 degrees and up, you'll look at a 0.7 TOG bag. And then we have what we call an all-season bag, is your 1 TOG bag. And that's generally, most people can get away with that bag throughout the whole year in South Africa, provided that your room is well insulated. So that's roughly for temps varying between 19 and 23, 24, even higher, but then you'll dress down. And when it's cooler, you'll dress up. And then a 2.5 TOG is what we call our winter bag. And that's really for rooms that's below 17 degrees Celsius. And I would recommend, and I wonder if you agree, but definitely there's definitely need for you to make a plan in warming up that room alternatively, if your room is below 16, 17 degrees Celsius.
Because I agree. Also, I also say that to parents on the other extreme of it. If your baby becomes over 25 degrees in your room, you need to start doing something about the temperature in the room, either installing an aircon or having a fan in the room. And parents often ask me, it's like, is it okay to use an aircon in the room? It's like, they have aircons in the hospital. Obviously, it's fine to use an aircon.
I think we'll get a lot of different answers on that, but I agree completely with you. That's more important to get to fully recharge your brain and body on the best electrical quality sleep that you can do. And we know that temperature has a massive impact on melatonin. So, yes, that's super important. And then I wouldn't recommend higher than 2.5 TOG. So you'll see what we like as when we look for products, we love the European, the Britain standard of products. They are super anal, super thorough. You'll see that Australia use, and even Canada and America, some of those countries also use this BS and EN standard to look for when they develop products. The Australian brands are also fantastic products, but you'll see different things there. They, for example, will allow a sleeve on a sleeping bag that we would never allow for, that is, that is such a vital part for a child to be exposed so that they can naturally thermoregulate. It's some of the most vascular parts in your body that needs to be open. Our feet's already closed when you're in a sleeping bag. As you indicated, what do you do when you feel warm in the middle of the night? You kick out your foot. Temperature drop, melatonin rises again. You fall asleep. Baby can't do that. So hands, arms needs to be open so that they can ventilate, and also head space needs to be open. So the Australian standard would allow for sleeves, for example. We wouldn't recommend that. And they also recommend a 3.5 dark sleeping bag, where the EN standard says no, nothing higher than 2.5 talks for a child under the age of 3. And I agree.
No. That's also interesting. I mean, for me, I definitely agree with the 3.5 talk. I also don't think it's necessary. I think there are parts of our country that get quite cold in winter for sure. And obviously our houses are not really built for cold. It's built for summer months. But the reality is again, I feel like if it's becoming so cold in the room, you need to start doing something about it. And again, heating devices such as panel heaters are better to use than use, or air cons, again, to heat up the room is much better than using a fan heater, which dries out the air, or a gas heater for sure. You're not going to use in your baby. That's not a safe standard.
I think, seeing that this is a South African podcast, I think so you'll get a lot of parents that say, but load shedding. Load shedding is a massive issue. My air cons are going to go off in the middle of the night. And this is often the case. But then we also recommend just insulate your room properly. Look at your roof. Look at the insulation in your roof. And blackout curtains can actually dip and drop your temp in your room by 3 degrees Celsius if it's too hot. And if it's cold, it would do the opposite. There are many things that we can do just without putting on an aircon to really help insulate our rooms better. Yeah.
If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond. And today we're talking about how to choose proper sleeping bags, safe ones, ones that are conducive to sleep. How do you choose it 100%? And joining me today is Annika Bordenors, who's the product manager for Good Night, talking about this very important issue. Because again, it's not a small price you're paying. Yeah. Even I feel like the cheaper options that now are available. And again, I, in my good conscience, can only recommend TOG-rated sleeping bags. And unfortunately, all the TOG-rated sleeping bags in South Africa are imported sleeping bags, which make them slightly pricier than a normal. But again, I do feel, especially, I'm now not talking about now newborn phase, but I'm talking about older babies. You can use pretty much the same sleeping bag from 0 to 18 months. Or not, from 6 to 18 months. 6 months to 18 months. And that's quite a long time in baby years, I feel. There's not a lot of things you could use that long for a baby.
No, absolutely agreed. A word of caution also, if the bag says, it's because you do get this in South Africa, it's a bag that goes from 0 months to 3 years. That's a big red light.
Why is that a red light? Why? What would be wrong with that sleeping bag?
So if you look at this at the standard, the EN standard, and what they look at, is the very first thing is the neck opening. So what these brands do is they put like press buttons or studs so that you can manually adjust the neck width. Okay, so that's fine, but I'm almost certain that if you don't know that the neck width is so important and vital and would actually scrape you from getting a certification, then you probably don't know much about sleep. And with all due respect, I say that because these poppers, I know that about 6 years ago, one of these poppers that the EN actually certified as baby proof, and that has that has undergone that Newton test of the pull and press test of, can it actually withhold a lot of force?
Yeah.
That one stud is actually R6 for one stud, so it's extremely expensive. And I know, I've seen those studs. It's not up to that standard. But Yolanda, yeah, so the neck width is incredibly important because as we just, when we started this discussion, we talked about how babies sleep and how the muscular paralysis is not yet present. They move around a lot. They're active in their sleep. So they will move in the sleeping bag. And if this neck width, if it's too wide, your baby will slip in and suffocate or strangle it. You know, it's just not safe. Next thing would be our armholes. We'd look at the armholes. We do not want our baby to be able to maneuver himself in or out of the sleeping bag, because if he or she needs to roll around in the cots, they need arms free to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's why in the beginning also you mentioned that there's a difference between a swaddle bag and a sleeping bag, and babies are not safe in a swaddle bag anymore once they start rolling over, which is around 4 months of age. So you can't put, because if your baby is literally swaddled in a bag, can't put their arms out. If they're moving onto their stomach, rolling over, they're literally face planting their face into the mattress and could suffocate because they can't lift up their head properly because they don't have their arms to help them to push up. So as soon as your baby starts, and that's not even just with a swaddling bag, it's also with a normal swaddle. As soon as your baby starts showing signs of rolling over, you need to stop swaddling your baby.
Yeah, no, agreed. 100%.
Yes. So, so you mentioned now the arms, you don't want that to go in. The neck, you don't want too big. What are some other things?
Yes, Yolanda. So we also look at zip quality. So the zip needs to be sturdy. It shouldn't get loose. They look at labels. So we're not allowed to have any loop labels in the neck that's long enough for little fingers to get entangled to. The zip, the pull off the zip, that needs to be sturdy
covered as well, so that it can't scratch or anything.
Shave that little, the body. They look at the inside of the seams, how that is worked off.
It shouldn't have buttons because buttons can get loose and your baby can swallow it. So these are like things that you need to look out for, and why it's so important to look for a proper tolerated sleeping bag.
Exactly. Or just a proper regulated sleeping bag.
Yes.
And I think for people who can't afford sleeping bags, we will always tell them to look out for these things. So never ever buy a thick, fleecy sleeping bag if that is the case. If you cannot afford a tolerated sleeping bag, go to the thinnest one you can. Buy the thinnest one you can, because at least then you don't risk overheating your child. You can always just wear an extra cotton layer.
Mentioned those fleecy ones. I mean, you already mentioned that we shouldn't put anything around or over our children's heads as well. Why is that? Why don't you want something on your child's head while they're sleeping? Aren't they going to get cold? Because lots of parents have those fleecy little onesies with the hooded thing, and then their baby is sleeping in this. It's super cute.
Yeah,
these little bear costumes that they sleep in with, the hands are closed and the head is closed. Are those safe?
Yeah, look, so I think we discussed babies thermoregulate completely differently than we do. What we know is through our hands, feet, and our head, those are the most vascular parts in our body, and we emit a lot of heat from our heads and hands. So it's incredibly important to just have that one little aid open so that you can do the little thermoregulating that you can do.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
If you've just joined me, yes, this is Bump and Beyond. We've been talking sleeping bags today. Don't worry if you've missed the show, because luckily this show and all of the other shows on Hi FM are available as a podcast on HiFM.com for you to go listen to. Please, if you haven't downloaded the app yet, why haven't you downloaded the app yet for HiFM? Go download it, because you can listen to the show live, and all the podcasts are available there as well for you to go listen to. Easy peasy to go look at. So go and download it. You can also interact with us through the app. As I mentioned, we have been talking to Annika Bordenors, who's the product manager of Goodnight, about sleeping bags. One last practical question, Annika, before you have to go. is that how many, because we now looked at the different things you have to look out for a sleeping bag, also the age or more the weight and the length that you have to look out for. But I mean, it is, again, you're paying quite a bit of money here for something. How many sleeping bags do you think it's necessary to buy for like the bare minimum? What is necessary? Just one or two? How many do you think we should have?
So I'd say, if I could spoil myself, I'd say three. Yeah. You'll have one in the cupboard, one in the wash, and one on your baby. And the reason why I say this is not because I'm lazy to wash them, but because we sit with a child that spends like 16, 17, 18 hours per day in a sleeping bag. So for that reason, I would say we would wash it more often than we would wash our own bedding, I think.
How often should you then wash it?
I think at least every third day.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, it is. I mean, I think they do spend, and I mean, we sweat quite a bit. And again, like you said, they do spend quite a bit of time. So I don't think it's an unreasonable amount. And when you get a good quality one, I do have to say that you can see how they withstand that wash after wash after wash. Annika, before you go, where can people go look for what sleeping bags they can buy?
Yeah, perfect. Thanks, Yolanda. Thanks for having me. So I think the way I would say is so you can go to Goodnight's website. We have obviously top-rated certified sleeping bags on our website. It's Palimp and Pin sleeping bags, and it is the Tommy Tippy brand that we highly recommend and that I absolutely advocate for them. Fantastic products that you can go to on www.goodnightbaby.co.za.
Great. Thank you so much, Annika. It was wonderful having you.